AM 1400 and 93.3 FM K1, and it is a City Matters program live with the folks who make up at least portions of the staff of the City of Bartlesville, and Interim City Manager Mike starting off this morning. How's it going, Mike?
Good morning, Charlie. How are you doing today?
It's a nice day in the neighborhood. We're probably going to get some rain, for which we need the moisture, although last time I checked lake levels, we were adequate for early spring.
Well, that's we are, thankfully. I'm sure some citizens have been looking at the our own fishing lake or fishing pond, and it appears to be a little bit low, but Micah and I are going to go visit about that as soon as we leave the radio station here.
Okay.
Of course, it as you know, at one point it had a leak, which has been repaired.
Yes.
But we may have to supplement the water. Unfortunately, there's not much of a drainage area that feeds that pond, so
no.
It tends to stay low. But we'll supplement it, and we'll get it filled back up somehow, hopefully in time for the spring fishing season with all the kids out there.
Well, just looking at Hula Lake, as I check that level right now, the flood control pool is 3/4 of 1% full, so still plenty of room there.
Yeah, right where they want to be coming into spring.
Exactly. As I check, Copan Lake, a similar flood control pool, just over 1% full, so plenty of capacity there, just about where, again, where those two bodies of water would like to be.
Excellent. Excellent place to be at this time of year.
Yeah. And if we're going to get rain over the next 24 to 36, which it appears we will, then the Caney River will rise.
The Caney River will rise, and hopefully our own little fishing pond will rise, or at least the creek next to it, so that we can pump some water from the creek into our pond.
There you go. That works. Last time you were on, you mentioned a survey that is being sponsored by the folks at Grand Gateway Economic Development.
Yeah, and it is actually got extended a little bit. In fact, I think it was extended twice now. In order to get as much public input as possible. Citizens have through March 31st. They have just about a week left to offer input. It's a statewide long-range transportation plan.
The 31st is Saturday.
The 31st is a Saturday, that's right. So if you don't want to do it during the week, then you have the opportunity to do it this weekend.
31st is, by the way, also the last day to mail in that voter registration information or to change your address or party affiliation in order to be registered to vote for the June primary.
That's right. This is always a critical election time.
It is.
So, but
filing period comes up next month. So,
well, we're back to silly season, aren't we? Did it ever end?
It hardly ever ends.
Sometimes. So, but the survey can be completed online, or it can be you can also complete it by phone or in paper on a paper version and mail it in. Mm-hmm. The easiest place to find out more information about that is on the City of Bartlesville's website. It's cityofbartlesville.org. If you click on that, then you can go, you'll follow it down, and it's under news, the Grand Gateway Survey. This is for the long-range transportation plan, so it is important for our area, for our citizens' voices to be heard. And the state wants to know what it is that the citizens of Bartlesville believe needs to be done in our region as far as transportation needs. So,
and City of Bartlesville, not the only public body that has been urging people to fill that out. It has been mentioned several times in Dewey City Council meetings as well.
Yes, Dewey City Council meetings, of course, Washington County, the residents of Washington County.
Probably being mentioned as we speak right now for Washington County.
And there will be, probably is. You're right, Charlie. So there'll be some public meetings here as well, but this is the first step to gather that public input is through this. So, and Charlie, about a week ago, I had the honor of attending the FOP banquet, and at that banquet they do several awards and announcements, but the biggest one is to honor the 2017 Officer of the Year. The Officer of the Year this year was Officer Stephen Little. Stephen Silver. Where I got Stephen Little from. Thank you. That was close.
Well, it is. He is the third, I believe. So actually, that maybe. I don't know where you got that from. Chief presented Stephen and some other officers to the council a few weeks ago in preparation of that award.
You're right. In fact, there were several officers that have received the life-saving award, and Officer Silver was one of those. If the name Officer Silver sounds familiar to you, it probably should.
Another one previously.
That's right. His father, of course, Rick Silver, is the sheriff for Washington County, former investigator for the City of Bartlesville, and then their father, or their Rick's father and Steven's grandfather has also been in law enforcement, so good law enforcement family. We've got lights flashing at us, Charlie. Are you taking my photo?
It's just my indication the phone's ringing because phones don't ring in the studio.
Okay, well, that's good. Yeah. That's good. So somebody's trying to call in. We don't want to take any call-ins, Charlie.
Okay, we're not taking any calls.
Especially not after I called Officer Silver, Officer Little. It's best if we don't take any calls. It's probably his dad.
Yeah.
So, but
your phone may ring later.
Yeah, that's fine. But anyway, it was a great event, a great night.
And they may be calling Ed at home for all I know.
It might be Ed calling from home. So, but anyway, good event, really, really good event. So, also that last Monday night, the last city council meeting that we had, there was some discussion about the city's GO bond issuance in the next one. Mm-hmm. This is related to the most recent election that was just passed by the citizens of Bartlesville. We'll be looking to issue about $10 million worth of that $16.5 million authorization before June 30th of this year. So moving very quickly, going to issue a lot of these bonds, which will result in a lot of projects, a lot of very high priority and high profile projects will be included in that. One of the questions that we're getting is what projects will be funded with this first tranche. That ultimately will be a council decision. Staff has worked and put together a staff recommendation. But we will...
The council frequently follows that recommendation, but there's no guarantee.
That's right. No official action has been taken yet, but we believe we have a pretty good plan. We'll present that to the council on April 2nd, I think is the next council meeting, which will be a week from today.
That's correct, yes.
We'll present that night. Thankfully, the day after April Fool's Day. I believe we had a council meeting on April Fool's Day last year.
That's never
a good thing. So,
The council had an appropriate amount of fun and they went on.
They did. So, but the council will look to make a decision on that.
There may not be school that day, but there will be a city council meeting.
You're correct. That's a good possibility, yeah. Unfortunately, in our in what we're dealing with today. So. But the project list will be decided. That they will definitely set in concrete the projects that will be part of this first GO bond issuance. They will also approve sort of a draft of what they anticipate the next 2 years looking like with those GO bonds. So put together an entire plan for it, and citizens are certainly welcome to join us at the city council meeting that night. There's always room for citizen input before the meeting if someone has something they'd like to say. You don't have to wait till that night, though. Of course, you are free to reach out to your city council member.
Their contact information listed on the city's website.
It is. You are correct. You can reach them by phone or email. They're very responsive on either way. So, but that'll be a big meeting for us. And as I said, before June 30th, we will have about $10 million to start building some of these really cool projects that citizens just approved.
Sounds good.
And speaking of projects, I have the city's engineering director.
Way. That was,
wasn't it? I planned that. I was up all morning thinking about that.
Morning, Micah.
Good morning, Charlie. How you doing?
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
It is.
So, as you know, Micah Seamers, the city's engineering director, he's here with me, and we thought we would go over the project list, the projects that are upcoming, and some of them that are underway. And with that, I'll turn it over to you, Micah.
Appreciate it, Mike. We do. We got quite a few street projects that we're looking at right now. We've got two that are wrapping up currently. They're under construction now, or have been for the past couple months. We've got Nebraska. It's a concrete panel rehab project between 75 and Meadowlark. And we're actually just finishing up some drainage work on that this week. All the paving has been completed. Made that road a lot nicer.
Looking at the forecast, that may be postponed for a week.
Could possibly be, but the work they were doing, I think they did pour some concrete last week, and it may just be some cleanup this week. So hopefully this week we'll get wrapped up with that project. We've got Choctaw that we just finished as well. People may have noticed by the homeland downtown. We've just finished that stretch of asphalt overlay.
Looks project. Nice.
Both those streets were in desperate need of repair, and I think this will be nice moving forward. So we've got a final walkthrough scheduled on that this week to make sure everything looks okay. And if all is well, we'll be done with that project. And then we've got a couple projects under design, actually. We've got the Tuxedo Mill and Overlay project. We actually will receive bids on that April 16th. So design is complete on that. We've advertised for bids. So we'll receive bids on April 16th. Hopefully then get a contractor selected and actually working within the next month and a half after that is received. So
and which portion of the Tuxedo is that, Micah?
So this is going to be a long stretch, actually. It's going to be from Madison Boulevard all the way to essentially the Caney River, just east of the Caney River. So it picks up with concrete paving just east of the river, and we'll stop there. So basically that section where the water department destroyed that one section, I'm sure people are complaining about the outside lanes going westbound, that will be repaired with this project. And that's actually, we knew this was coming up, and so that's why they did that work. That's why they tried to time that work when they did. We've got that finished, and we'll get construction on that hopefully sometime in May, June time frame.
So big project that'll affect a lot of people.
It will affect a lot of people. It's a long stretch through there. Now, mill and overlay is typically a little bit easier than a concrete rehab.
They're a little faster
pace. So we'll go through, we'll do an edge mill. We will do some point repairs as far as some areas where the base has failed. We'll go in there and do a full replacement in some areas. We'll put some trench drain in where there's always that water seeping out by Evans Nursery.
Right.
We've got some groundwater issues there that come out of that hillside, and so we'll try to address that with that as well. And as soon as they get those point repairs and that trench drain in, then we'll go in through and we'll overlay the entire section, restripe. So
lane closures, what do you anticipate with that?
We'll keep traffic open in both directions. Most likely they'll do it half at a time. So basically it's going to be down to two lanes at times. So one lane in each direction. It's a four-lane street through there, so it lends itself well to keeping traffic flowing, but it will be neck down at times. So,
and of course, before that begins, we'll do a press release and we'll be back on the radio so
people will
have the opportunity to avoid that area.
We will try to get
if they so choose. We'll keep it open for them.
Nothing worse than when you get to drive through it and you say, "Oh, I remember they sent that information out, but I'm here now." You
know, now I'm stuck.
I'll remember this tomorrow.
Now I'm stuck. Yeah, so that will be definitely avoid those areas if you can during construction. I realize that there's times that's just the only way into work or wherever you're going, but we'll try to keep disruption minimized as much as possible. Making people happy.
Yeah, that's
always,
right.
Always with construction. So we do have design on a few other street projects. We've got it contracted out on Price Road between 75 and Silver Lakes. This is going to be a dowel joint retrofit, diamond grind, kind of what we've seen on some of the highways down in the Tulsa area where they go through and they add reinforcing to the concrete joints. And then they come through and they mill everything off, basically do a thin diamond grind to smooth things out. We'll add some asphalt shoulders on that section as well. So we've got that out for design. I believe CEC is a consultant on that, so they're working on that currently. They've done the survey. They actually use LIDAR, which is a pretty cool survey method. Very cool. Where they basically just drive it with a van that's equipped with this equipment that takes thousands upon thousands of data points, and then they got to whittle that down to what they actually need. So
LIDAR, that's low intensity directional something radar or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Okay. I can't even tell you, Charlie. I couldn't even tell you. I know they don't use plumb bobs anymore. They don't use lights.
It's pretty
crazy stuff.
You said that it would. They were going to add shoulders to that, right?
They are going to add shoulders to that. It'll probably vary depending on the locations along that run. But the idea is to have 6-foot asphalt shoulders. There will be some areas that may be narrowed up somewhat just due to grades tying in at the ponds there by Joan Low Park, and then there's a subdivision to the south where it gets kind of steep. So we'll be looking at some of those safety features and whatnot as well.
The road itself is still in relatively good condition.
It really is, yeah. And this is
more preventative than anything else.
It really is. It's to smooth out the ride, to improve the ride through there, reduce some of the noise from the washboard effect that you get. And the shoulders, really, we don't have a whole lot of accidents on that run of street through there, but it is kind of to add that safe feeling, I guess, if you will, of having a little bit more room if you need to pull off, things of that nature. So, again, plans should be complete on that by August. And then we'll get that out for bids, and so we'll probably see construction this fall, most likely. We've also got a consultant, Meshek & Associates, who has done our stormwater master plan in the past, and they are working on design plans for the East Downtown Drainage Project. This is essentially geared to alleviate flooding issues at Price Tower and also at 5th Street, where we have some flooding. We've got two bowls there, essentially, two low points that collect water when it rains. And we have some flooding issues. So we're basically going to increase the capacity of that system to what we call a 10-year storm. Again, it's not going to do everything, but it will alleviate what we call the nuisance flooding.
Yeah, it will take a couple of locations off of what Mike Sauter used to call the usual suspects that always flood.
That's correct.
The usual suspects.
That is correct. So this is basically going from the Price Tower down to the Caney River. We'll make improvements through there. And it'll depend on what the design comes through, on what they need to do and what they don't, as far as whether we address the entire system or if it's just portions of it. So that project is ongoing now. We should have plans completed on that by the end of this calendar year.
And the termination of it will be just south of the Price Tower.
That's correct.
On what's Silas Street, essentially.
Silas Street,
and of course, that is that is now the location of the planned Tire Green project.
That's correct.
So this drainage project will be coordinated with the Tire Green
project. It will
project.
Be coordinated with that project. And that's actually why we are doing this project now instead of Hillcrest Drive. Right. I think that was originally slated to be the first project in this 7-year half-cent sales tax extension. Both projects have the same price tag. Both have the same design price tag. And so we just, council chose to flip those this last fiscal year. So that we could do this in advance of the Tower Green if that did go through. So
and both projects will be done. I know that
they will be
was,
done.
There was some concern that that Hillcrest would be lost, but Hillcrest is funded and is a priority project
That's
and
correct.
Will be done just a
That's
few
correct.
Years later.
Just be a couple years later. Yep. Be 2021 time frame. So we've got that project going on in design. Then we have multiple other street projects that are part of the last 2017 issuance of the 2012 GO bond. We've got 4 concrete panel rehab projects we're working on design on now. Fleetwood, Sooner Park, Johnstone and Willow Creek and Arbor are all concrete projects. And then we have one asphalt project in that lumped in there, which is Mountain Road. They're basically going up Circle Mountain, the entry into Circle Mountain, the front entry. So we'll do a mill and overlay on that street. So those are what we've got under design right now. The last project kind of want to talk about is downtown landscaping. People may be aware, they've probably seen the contractor has mobilized in at 2nd and Keeler. They've blocked some parking.
Work officially started last week. So
it officially started last week. Now what that meant was is they were moving in equipment, getting things blocked off, basically getting all their materials on site so they can basically get started today. So hopefully, weather pending, they should be cutting some concrete possibly, taking out some trees. Getting going on that project, so it's going to be a fun one.
Going to be quite a project. Of course, the entire area of the project, Micah, is 2nd and
it's 2nd Street from Keeler to Osage, and then it also includes Dewey from 2nd Street to 4th Street. So it's really two projects that were lumped together into one project.
Yeah, for economies of scale there.
Sure. So we had finished the lighting portion of this a few years ago.
Right.
This is now the landscaping portion that we're tackling. We figured out some things on that. And so essentially it's going to reduce maintenance, hopefully, on our downtown landscape beds. We'll remove the majority of the landscape beds.
Right.
Right now, they kind of have a concrete lip that goes around them.
Little dangerous. Yep. Kind of a slip or trip hazard.
Right. So we'll be doing away with that. We'll be cutting that concrete out. Most of it will go back in with the concrete inlay, but there will be portions through those blocks where we go back in with the tree grate in some of those locations. It'll be basically a 4-foot by 4-foot steel tree grate. Kind of, if you look at the what's been done by the Plaza office building, it's going to be similar, not quite the same. These will be square instead of the octagonal shapes that they have and whatnot, but it'll be similar. There'll be
similar
a brick
style.
Band behind the curb, be a charcoal gray brick band that runs behind the curb. We'll have some new irrigation underneath that. Also, we're going to
the brick band is functional as well.
It is functional,
looking good.
That's correct.
The existing irrigation system runs right down the middle of the sidewalk
smack
and through
down the middle
of all those beds.
If you have a leak, it's under concrete typically.
Every bit of it, and we anticipate that as we remove these trees, there'll probably be damage to the irrigation system.
Most likely.
I think that's a 99.5% engineering answer. Most likely.
Translation
for everybody else.
There's going to be a corollary to Murphy's Law somewhere.
At least one of those trees will rip everything out with it. So
this will actually move the irrigation system out next to the curb.
That's
so
correct.
It'll be much easier to service.
That's correct.
Much easier to repair. And in the future, if trees are removed, they won't have the opportunity to destroy the entire irrigation system.
That's correct. Everything will be out there under the brick. And if we do have issues underneath it, you can peel back the bricks instead of having to go through and saw cut concrete and re-pour, things of that nature. So we are actually also going to install some conduit for future electrical.
That's
my understanding, the electrical through there, feeding the lights is troublesome at best, hard to maintain, and so we're going to go ahead and put some conduit in place in case they do down the road actually redo that electrical system as far as the wiring, things of that nature. So we'll put that in place to kind of give us a step ahead on that.
So that was well planned to do that.
Agreed. So again, we'll be starting there at 2nd and Keeler, and they'll be doing the south side of 2nd Street between that block, and then they'll move on to the north side, and then they'll kind of leapfrog their way to the east, and then they'll pick up Dewey after that, work from 2nd Street to 4th. So
That's
kind of the game plan. You can plan on 7 to 10 days, really, once they start working per half block. That's kind of what they've targeted as far as how long that'll take. So
Good. It's a good project and one that we've been looking forward to for a while.
Yep.
We now have a good plan. I think Keith Henry will appreciate this one a little more.
I hope so.
Right now we have an awful lot of beds that have to be maintained. This will remove most of the beds as far as the flowers and plants and things of that nature.
Right.
Take it back to something that's far simpler and a lot cleaner.
Yeah.
I think that the downtown property owners and the downtown businesses will appreciate this as well.
I hope so. I hope so.
Well, thank you, Micah. I appreciate that. And with me as well, I have Shelly McGill, who is holder of a number of titles. Today she's here to mainly talk about the library, the museum, the cemetery, and all of the cool programs that they've got going on. Was that thunder?
It was.
It was thunder or lightning.
That was very cool. We introduced Shelly, and this happened.
Thanks, Mike.
The weather reacted.
Wow, that was cool. All right. Well, welcome, Shelly.
Well, thank you, Mike.
Welcome in, Shelly.
Thank you. One of the most popular programs we have going on at the library right now is the AARP people are in to do your taxes. Mm. There's been some misconception that you have to be low income or they won't do the longer forms or something like that, and that is simply not true. They will do your taxes and submit them for you for free. We've had millionaires come do their taxes there. So the only kind of disadvantage is they only do it 3 days a week. And they only do it on a first-come, first-served basis. So I have a lot of people standing in line at the door when we open, and they do it on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock. So if you're interested in getting your taxes done, get your stuff together, and bring it to the library, and they will do your taxes.
And bring your patience.
Yes, bring your patience. But, you know, we have a lot to do while you're waiting. So, you know, it is a good place to hang out and wait for your taxes to be done.
You can find a good book to read in the meantime.
There you go.
Yes, yes. So 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we'll do your taxes through April 11th. So please come see us. One of the other things that we do at the library is we do a lot of health and fitness classes. Right now we're having Tai Chi classes. And those are every Thursday from 10 to 11 in the month of March, April, and May. And so then we're also having Tabata classes. And I'm not a big exercise person, so I got to tell you, I had to look it up. That is high-intensity exercise with rest in the middle. And so we're also having those classes on Wednesdays in April from 5:30 to 6:30. And they're also going to be some into May. The other thing that's kind of exciting is we have a cooking series. So we have Mike from Tri-County Tech. He's one of their chefs out there. And he has partnered with us to come and teach some cooking classes. The library's trying something new. We are now offering live streaming of those classes as well. We had 98 programs in the last 2 months, and we live streamed 8 of those. And the attendance on the live stream actually was more than the in-person. Mm. So we're going to be moving a little more in that direction because we can see there's a need for us to not only provide services at the library, but in remote sections as well.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Let's see. We also, for people that don't know, offer Spanish classes and English as a second language classes, citizenship classes, and those are very popular. We don't have, they aren't packed or anything, and they are free, and so we encourage you to come and ask us about those services because we would be happy to help you with those needs. Let's talk about our Lego club. Every month we have a Lego club, and that was only started through donations from you, our citizens. We put basically a phone booth in the middle of the library and said, please donate Legos. We got so many Legos that we now have two carts of Legos. And once I started pricing how much those Legos were, I got to tell you, saying it was 5,000 or greater would not be exaggeration. So thank you, the citizens of Bartlesville, for providing us all those Legos. We're now having monthly Lego club. And they make things, and we give them a challenge every month, and the kids are having a great time. But also annually in April, we have a Lego club contest. So it opens on April 2nd, and what you do is you figure out a picture that you want to make out of Legos, and you duplicate that picture out of Legos, and you enter our contest. The contest actually is at the library on the 28th, and we give some awesomely cool prizes for the winners. And so we have three age groups. The first one is kindergarten through fourth, five through eight, it's kindergarten through age four, five through eight, and nine through adult. So be thinking of what you would like to make for Legos, because even if you don't have your own, I bet you we'll let you use some of ours. So
that's great. And by the way, these are not your grandfather's Legos anymore either.
Oh my gosh.
No, they have lights, they have motion. You can do anything. They even make robots with Legos these days.
Yeah.
It is so
fun. In fact, I saw a full-sized operating tractor that was made of Legos the other day.
Really?
Legitimately. It was baling hay, and it was made of Legos. Don't ask. It obviously far exceeded my capabilities at Lego.
Don't tell the folks at Caterpillar and Iron Apple Harvester and Massey Ferguson and all those people that make their living on tractors.
With the price of Legos, you could probably buy a tractor cheaper than you could build one out of Legos.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
Wanted to hit on two more things.
Okay.
We also are having cell phone classes. U.S. Cellular is coming in to teach cell phone classes because... my daughter could probably teach me more than I could learn, but she don't want to. So we're having representatives of U.S. Cellular come in, and this is all they do. They teach you cell phone usage, tips and tricks. Okay, we'll go on.
Particularly, I think it's nice for the people who maybe have changed operating systems. You're used to Android, you went to iPhone or vice versa, and so they think differently.
They do. Yeah. They do. And so you may see me there. It's on April 3rd from 10 to 12. And we'd love to see you there. It's in the big meeting room upstairs. One of the things I'm kind of excited to tell you about are some of the things that are coming to the library. So we are getting ready to start a things collection. And a things collection is a collection of things that we will lend out to you. So what we're hoping to do is to find your interest and to pique your interest. And maybe it's something you would like to try, but you don't want to spend the money because you're not sure if you're going to like it or not. So we're going to roll out that program on June 1st. We have bought most of the things already, and we are currently packaging them, and we are making up the policies for them and the checkout periods and getting them in our catalog and all those kinds of things. But for the month of April, some of them will be on display in the display in the lobby. And so you can kind of come and see what thing you might like to check out. But let me give you an idea of some of the things and what they are. They're for simple things like laminators or shredders or... button makers, to sewing machines, cake pans, microscopes, telescopes, bird watching kits, and those were cool because you put your cell phone on the bird watching kit and you can take pictures, and that kit will come with the illustrated bird so you can identify what kind of bird it is. We're going to have typewriters, and there's going to be cake pans, photography kits, microscopes, telescopes, and a whole host of musical instruments. You know, as our kids grow up, and I think it's about fifth grade, gosh, I haven't had kids that age for a while, so forgive me, but they get to go into band and orchestra, mm-hmm. and they often don't know what instrument they want to play.
And it's a decision that traditionally you kind of get in front of the guy with the instruments, and it's in, out, you got to touch a clarinet, you got to touch a saxophone, here's a trumpet, oh, by the way, there's drums over there, what do you want?
Yes, yes. So we have already acquired a keyboard, electric guitar, bass guitar, but more typically a violin, a acoustic guitar, and we have all kinds of children's instruments that are their size. Okay. And so we're hoping that I'm looking for some trumpets, and I think we've got a trombone already, and those kinds of things. So what I'd like to really help parents with is when my daughter or son comes to them and says, I want to play this, that they can come to the library and check one out for 2 or 3 weeks and see if they really want to play it or not before they spend that investment on that instrument.
Yeah, good idea.
So we're really excited about our things collection. I think I'm about running out of time, but let me tell you one more thing we're rolling out. We are rolling out the library lane. And what that is, if you've gone to Walmart and picked up your groceries, you know, you called in your order and then you drive up and you say, I'm here, and we bring it out to you. We're doing that. And so that'll be coming probably in about June. And so we're going to have a spot where it just says, call in if you've let us know, and we'll bring your books out to you. So we are a full service library. One last thing, don't forget to download the OverDrive app for digital books. Those are free books to you, audiobooks, digital books. They even have magazines that are coming and videos. So don't forget about it's called OverDrive. And we'd love to see you.
Kay Little will have her sandwiched in coming up at the noon hour on Thursday.
Yes.
And we were talking about that last hour, so people can go to BartlesvilleRadio.com and hear that interview.
Fantastic. As you can see, Charlie, libraries continue to reinvent themselves in today's world.
So, yeah.
Continue to fill the niches that they always have. But, Charlie, we thank you for hosting us, and we look forward to 2 weeks from now, I believe.
We'll do it again.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Bartlesville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227CQ Bartlesville.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by TheraWorks Relief.
I'm Steve Kaith. A new Trump administration action is aimed squarely at Russia. 60 diplomats have been ordered out, says CBS's Cammie McCormick.
The State Department says the expulsions are in response to an outrageous violation of the Chemical Weapons Convention and a violation of international law. In addition to the expulsions, the U.S. is requiring Russia to close its consulate in Seattle by April 2nd. An official calls that consulate part of the broader problem of an unusually high number of Russian operatives in the U.S. On the West Coast, he says, Russia will now have a degraded ability to collect intelligence.
This is a response to Russia's alleged poisoning of an ex-spy in Britain, British Defense Secretary Gavin Williamson.
I actually think that is the very best response that we can have, because their intention, their aim is to divide. And what we are seeing is the world uniting behind the British stance. And that in itself is a great victory.
14 European nations and Canada have taken similar action. Stormy Daniels says she was threatened, told to keep quiet about her alleged sexual encounter with Donald Trump 12 years ago. And last night she told 60 Minutes.
I was perfectly fine saying nothing at all.